Sarah and Vinny's Secret Show Classics. Any great secret really should be told more than once, just like the first time. The Secret Show is not for everyone and should only be enjoyed by those over the age of 18. The Secret Show Classics. Always available at RadioAlice.com.
Got a little secret I think you want to know. A dirty little secret about a secret little show.
What?
Yeah.
Human.
What is it? Who?
Nothing.
Liar. What?
Saw naked pictures of somebody.
Of Dolly?
No, I'm just kidding. Nothing.
Now you're just lying. Now you're lying about your lie.
You saw naked pictures of Dolly? I did too.
Carl said there were fakes.
There are none.
All right, Sarah and Vinny Secret Show for Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. Sarah, Vinny, and Human in here so far. Yuzette is producing from the other room. Nick, Dylan, and Allison are in the other room, our interns. Well, by the way, we need fall interns, and they can start anytime. Email uzette@radioalice.com. You have to get college credit for it.
They better be as smart as these interns.
As smart as these ones? That won't be hard.
We got a good group.
It won't be hard. Shut up. Yeah,
I asked Nick for an update on his...
The girl that he was kind to.
Why would you be mean to Nick?
Because I want to know what's like going on, and he's still friends with his best friend, right?
Well, sure, of course he is. He didn't have a relationship with that girl. But they're together, right?
Yeah, they are... they're definitely together. Mm. They are definitely boning.
Is that right?
Does it hurt? Does it hurt a little bit?
No, I'm kind of over it
now.
He's
over it.
It's really not a big thing. And me and this guy have been friends since middle school. So, like,
and he was cool about it. He said, I'm not going to date her. I wouldn't do that to you.
Is she being nice to you, or is she still giving you the silent treatment?
Silent treatment?
No. She's been real nice. They come out to the bars every once in a while, come see me play music. So
there you go. Yeah. Really new fan.
Has she apologized on bended knee yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. There's really nothing to apologize for.
You pulling lots of girls from the gigs that you do?
Not as many as I'd like, but, you know, every once in a while.
You don't have
get some more people to come out to them, yeah.
You got to come out to our events. We'll get you hooked up.
Okay. I'm down with that.
I like Nick. Nick and I have had some email exchanges about music. It's been nice to get some new bands to listen to.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Outside Lands, but how was that?
It's fun.
Amazing. You really missed out.
Yeah, you really did miss out.
Apparently Jack White stood in the middle of the woods.
He
pulled his pants down and strummed his guitar for everyone.
And then everybody got bit by his fleas.
Yeah.
He pulled his pants down.
To strum his guitar.
Do you see those
with
three?
His penis.
Those look like bed bug bites.
This is from the forest.
You think?
Bed bug bites.
They're in groups.
What do you even know about bed bugs?
Because I'm so paranoid about bed bugs.
Oh, it might have been when I was traveling.
You taking my picture?
You want to hear something crazy?
Are you taking my picture? Because I got to get my grannies off of me.
I slept at the Fairmont the other day ago.
Yeah.
And...
Do you guys bone in the Fairmont?
Of course.
How's that?
Don't be a
dick. Gotta do it when you're in a hotel. It's the law.
Did you look out the window while you did it?
No. But but we were in such a rush getting out the door and getting, I had to get the dog and deal with and get out of town. God damn it. I forgot a blanket and a pillow. Oh my God, I'm a dead man.
And then to the Fairmont.
A dead man, really.
And then it just turned out okay.
Wow, imagine
that. So when we go to Hawaii, you won't bring your own bedding?
No, I will for sure. No. Absolutely, that's going to happen.
So weird.
That was a major mistake.
That is so weird.
What do you mean that's so weird?
What part of that don't you understand? It's all weird. Weird to bring your own bedding with you to a hotel.
Is your husband excited to come out?
Yeah, we're excited. Good. All right, you ready for part two?
Yes. Now, where do you want to give a little summary?
Yeah, so in Costa Rica, we paid $1,000 to this guy who took the two families, so eight people, on what was going to be a river ride through the mangroves and then out to a secluded island off the coast of Costa Rica where there was some world-class snorkeling. This is how it was sold to us.
World-class.
World-class snorkeling.
And so...
With an experienced... snorkeling guy.
Now, like you've never snorkeled before, right?
Oh, I've snorkeled.
You have?
Sure. Not any place like super fancy or anything, but in my life, I've put on a mask and a snorkel and snorkeled around. You know, I grew up by the ocean.
Okay.
Nothing fancy.
Gotcha.
Nothing like
And I guess when I was in Jamaica for my honeymoon, we snorkeled.
Oh, that was probably
nice. That was nice, right. So, but I wouldn't know from snorkeling, but I have seen Jacques Cousteau specials. So I do know, you know, what a pretty reef looks like. Okay?
The kids are all, what did she just say? What's that name?
But all the grown-ups know what I'm talking about. So.
Jacques Cousteau.
We have gone now. It took us almost 3 hours to drive to this place. And then it was an hour and a half to get to the end of the river and another hour and a half over huge waves to get to the, by the way, through a rocky pass to get out to this island where upon getting to the island, we see these whales off to the side. We saw these three enormous adult humpback whales that played all around us and a little baby one too. So awesome. Absolutely breathtaking. So then now we're heading over to the island. And this guy was sold to us as, oh, yeah, he goes down and he's one of those diver guys that just they just dive down to the bottom. And I don't know what they do. They take their knife and they muscle abalone. I don't know what the hell these people do. But they pearl dive or whatever. What do these guys do? They dive down into 60 feet of water, you know, with no scuba tank. So we're like, okay, so this is going to be amazing, right? So then we come upon this boat, and it's got these, it's the one with the 16 people in it, plus the crew, and it's floating about an inch above the top of the water. Like, there's so many people in this boat, there's no, and there's a baby on some lady's lap and little kids. And we get their safe life jackets, which is when we really realize that, oh my God, there's no life jackets on this goddamn boat.
The mother bleepin' hell gets on one of these crafts with a freaking baby.
Yeah.
Tourists, I guess.
They don't realize it's going to be the way it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, if I had had any inkling of what I was getting myself into, I would have said no when I looked at the boat. Because I actually thought to myself, that boat's a POS.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I would definitely, and I'm a really good swimmer, but I would be like, my baby is not getting on the boat.
Right.
Well, that's not happening. The baby can't swim. And I can't swim holding a baby in the air.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well,
no.
Well, they obviously got, in retrospect, as we dissected this later, the eight of us, or actually just the four adults, we were thinking, okay, so clearly that giant party got all the day's supply of life jackets. Like, they obviously put all the life jackets on that, but we had little kids, too. I mean, she's got a first grader and a third grader. Mm. I mean, they're little kids.
They had all the jackets in Costa Rica.
They literally had every jacket available in Costa Rica. So they obviously were way overloaded and had taken all the life jackets that, you know, we didn't even, it didn't even occur to us. I mean, the bad parenting moments that are involved in this are so many. In retrospect, it's like, my family was in mortal peril.
No, you know what? I would have probably done what you did, which is go on the trip. Your kids are, they can tread water. I wouldn't have thought they were going to die. But a baby can't even last a minute.
Right.
It can't even last 30 seconds. A baby has no hope.
Right.
I just wouldn't have died. That's crazy.
I agree.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, so that's the other boat, right? So we get their life jackets. And they're, I guess, going to go to the white sand beach that's been promised on this island and have their lunch that they're having, which I don't know where they're keeping that on that boat that's full of people. So the guy, they're like, okay, well, listen, here's your... Then they start passing out the gear. And I'm expecting it to be used gear that's been... Because this is what these guys do, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's clearly from their stop yesterday at the Costa Rica Walmart... It's all still in bags with the tags on, and it's cheap. Like, I know decent. I've worn
They bought masks. You swimming pool gear.
They bought a swimming pool gear. With
oh, my
the pool.
God.
You know how real flippers are? Real flippers are rubber, yeah. And they fit snugly on your foot, and it's like a... These were the ones that are sort of like a hard plastic that has the strap in the back that you have to pull. And it's all
which
hard,
breaks
you know.
The second you try to crank down on it. Oh,
so I'm like,
no, I'm either trapped in these or.
So I'm like, oh my God, this is stuff from Costco or Walmart or wherever. Like, okay, because I expected to use
professional gear.
At least. Yes, I expected professional gear. It's $1,000 fucking dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have your money at this point?
I believe they had half our money. I'm not sure. I wasn't in charge of the money. I gave the money to
you. Give the other half if you live.
Yeah.
If you survive.
Right, then they get the other half.
500.
So they got it. So we're putting this stuff on. And the guy goes, okay, here's the life jacket. If you just lay it out, you can kind of lay over that, and it helps support you because the water's pretty deep. It's like 30 feet of water. So he gets out into the water, and we're all jumping in, and it is beautiful. I mean, it's crystal clear water. But it's surf. Like, we're not in a protected place behind the reef. There is no reef. There's three huge rocks that have some scattered coral look. I mean, it's just not. It was three friggin' ocean rocks, but tons of tropical fish around them, and, you know, a few schools and, like, maybe a snapper. Yeah.
Did you feel like you were in Finding Nemo? Was it like that
beautiful?
It was
beautiful? The opposite of that. It was like if Finding Nemo was set on a rock. Like, there's these three rocks. So I'm like, okay. So we were there for 20 minutes, and I'm like, I've seen the three rocks and the fish. You know, it's pretty. You know, but we're in the surf, too. It's like this. As you're laying in the water, yeah. You know, snorkeling, you know, there's some pretty
serious
waves.
So you're laying
waves.
On the rafts.
They're just those simple red ones. Not even the ones that you would, like, if you were jet skiing, you'd have the body wrap one with the buckles in the front, and it's like a full body back and front, thin foam. These are the old school squared up SpongeBob SquarePants if he was red things, right?
And you're laying on that.
We're just sort of laying over it. And the reason that you need to do that is because the surf is so rough. It's not a cool, you know how there's the waves, then there's the breaker, you know, whatever's stopping it. And then there's a calm pool where you're snorkeling around and no surf. We're in the surf.
They had water wings on.
No, we were just laying across these
things. I get what you're doing. But that's why you had to, because the surf. Gotcha.
Well, and it just does make it
otherwise
easier.
You would just swim along the top of the water.
Sure, and we could have swum along the top of the water. That's no problem. You could dive down. I dove down a couple times, you know, just to see anything. Oh, is there any coral on these rocks? So we come, you know, we're hanging out there. So we're 20 minutes in, and there's the three rocks, right? And this is where we're swimming around. I'm like, okay, so are we going anyplace else? And meanwhile, this guy who's supposedly this world-class diver, he's got one of the things. He's laying over it. Floating around, he's like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at what? Look at nothing.
Oh, man.
There's nothing. There's nothing. So.
So you got rolled, is what you're saying.
Basically. The rolling's not over yet, though. So we're laying, and so it's, I don't know, now where he's like, oh, no, this is it. Just come swim over here. Hey, look at this. You know, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, ow, ooh, ow, ooh, ow. And we're all kind of like, ooh, ow, ooh, everyone who's right by me. There's just a cloud of jellyfish, like little, just tiny ones.
Yeah.
And they were stinging us head to toe.
I mean, death.
Well, not to death. And it wasn't even that. It wasn't super pain. It was enough that you could still lay there. But it felt like someone, you know, taking a pine needle and kind of sticking you.
Sure.
Like clearly we're being eaten.
You're like, I'm paying $1,000 for this.
Well, but it was lovely. The water was warm. There were a lot of fish.
How long were you getting stung for?
And I don't know.
What were they doing? 10 minutes. What was he doing there to defend you?
Nothing. No, there was no defense.
Great. So the guy didn't do anything.
No, okay. He's just over there floating around. I'm like, where's his world class diving skills?
Was he getting bit at all?
I don't know.
No, he was protected.
I don't know. Special Costa Rican blood or something.
That would have been an extra $200
to get what he got. Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, and it didn't last long, and then it was this sort of tapered off, and just occasionally you'd get bitten by something. So we get back in the boat. You know, they're like, oh yeah, you guys were out there for like an hour and a half. I'm thinking to myself, if I was out there for 40 minutes, I'd be amazed. I think that was more like half. Oh yeah, that was a good hour and a half, you know, that you guys were thinking. Like, I don't even think I brought my phone with me, because we didn't want to bring anything that would get super wet. But anyway, so we get back in the boat, and he's like, you guys must be hungry now. Why don't we go to the island and we'll eat? So we come around the corner of the thing, and the tide is so high that there is no beach. Like, the little bit of beach that was there, and the people, the 16 people in the boat thing,
are drowned. They're dead.
They're floating.
They are all trying to get back in the boat. Like, the boat had let them off, whatever, 45 minutes after they gave us the thing, they let them off. And they're trying to pull the boat in close enough. Then our guy has to jump off our boat to help hold their boat so that they can get in. He comes back and he goes, okay, so there's no eating on this island. There's a rule. There's no eating. And we're like, okay, so you're making up a rule because the tide's too high to get us in there or whatever.
Because they didn't think to check a fucking tide chart.
Or whatever. I don't know what they're...
No, it's a tide chart. Yeah, that's whatever. All you got to do.
Yeah.
So, well, clearly the other boat didn't check and they went for it. So then they go, okay, give them back all the life preservers.
Oh, I thought it was to say, give them back the money.
No, okay. Give them back the life preservers. So the other boat pulls alongside us, and I'm like, okay. And we hand back the life preservers.
All of them.
All
Everyone.
Of them. There are four, I should say this, there are four of those styrofoam rings shoved under the seats. And John and I, like, as we were talking about this afterwards, it was like, you know, when we left, I was like, okay, janky boat, whatever. But there's the seating with the cracked cushions, remember? There must be, underneath those things, there must be life jackets for everybody. Like, there must be. Didn't even, you know, again, bad parenting. So then we realized there's only these four, like, really flimsy styrofoam rings. So now they're like, okay, well, listen, we want to try to head back because you can see the giant storm coming in. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon now.
The squall.
like that happens every day at 1 o'clock.
Right.
More great timing on everyone's part,
so you can
right?
see the black.
Oh, it's
right.
coming.
That's called the squall.
It's coming right in on the side, like kind of a from south to, I guess, from north to south. So we're like, okay, that does look kind of dangerous. See, it's like, we'll find a nice place, you know, we'll find another beach, but let's get back to the mainland because we're 16 miles out. And the boat goes, you know, 2 miles an hour or whatever. It took us an hour and a half or so to get out to the 16-mile out there island. You could see it the whole time. It's just, you know, getting incrementally closer. So then we start heading back. And now we're going with the waves. It's still pretty wavy, but we're at least heading toward... So we're not being constantly hit off the face of them, but we're all a little, you know, still woozy even from the first time out. So we're heading back in, and this freaking storm descends on us.
It starts with wind, and
it
then...
It starts with wind.
Yep.
Because the water was, even though there was a lot of waves, it was very glassy. It was very smooth. But now, I mean, it's a freaking, like... Every time we go back down, like, a wave is coming over the top, and we're all like, oh, my God, we're going to be washed off the boat.
So, and it's 16 miles to get back, and about, was it 8
Jesus
miles in
Christ.
That the storm starts coming in? Like,
No. Pretty much when we headed back, like, I remember we were only, you know, we were in it, and we're going, and then the wind starts, and then we're getting slapped with rain, and then everything's real choppy around us. And I look back, you can't see the island, you can't see the mainland, we're just in the water. Hopefully going the right way. Because then I look and this guy, I hear him go, hello, hello. And I look back, I'm thinking he's going to be like on his radio or something. Like, hey, just want to let you know we're in a squall. He's got a cell phone in a plastic bag that he's holding up to his head.
Oh, classic.
He's steering the boat. He's steering the boat with his belly. Like this. Hello, hello. And oh my God. So I'm like, okay, this is scary. So then we're all sitting along the edge in the front, and we're all holding on to the railing that's, you know, whatever. I don't even know what you would call that. The thing on the side of the boat that's bolted to the boat. So this week, we're getting bashed. It's great, and it's going. All the kids are holding on. The freaking handle, the goddamn railing comes off the boat.
Oh, my God.
The railing comes off the boat.
Who went in?
Nobody went in because we're all sitting and you're sitting and then I don't know, maybe like just above hip height is where the edge of the boat and then the railing's here. So we were all kind of like this. Can you see?
Everyone was locked onto that thing when it went off, no one went with
it. That's all they have. No, that's literally the only thing on the boat is a rail.
It didn't pull all the way off. It's like this. So the front of the boat is, I don't know, sort of flat-ish like this, and then it comes down on the sides. So the railing goes from all the way like wherever the driver is, pilot, around the front like this, and then down this side. So everyone's holding on as we're going over each rail. You're kind of pulling on the rail. This whole side, all the bolts let go. So this whole side is just... And this side's still attached.
Got it.
So
no one went over.
Nobody went over, thank God. But all the kids started crying. I mean, it is so fright. I was like, this is so real.
All the kids started crying.
Well... Some of them held it together better than it, but the little one was... I mean, he was hold. So the thing lets go, and he's just little, so he's holding onto this railing that's now sort of pulling him.
Oh my god!
Each wave out, and everyone's sort of holding on to him, and then we pull him into the middle, and we're all sort of huddled on the ground in the front of the boat. Like the eight of us are all just sort of huddled down, like holding the children in. John starts
vacation.
John starts opening the things to find all the flotation devices that we assume are there but aren't. So it's, and the squall just, it's just going crazy. And I mean, it took us over 2 hours to get back to shore, right? So but the last 20 minutes of it, the squall passed us. So we're soaked. They handed out garbage bags for us to put over us. I was like, what is the point?
Jesus,
we're soaking wet,
right,
for God's sake. Why don't you just give us those plastic flippers? We'll beat the rain off. So we make it back, and then, you know, it's everything's soaking wet, and we're all kind of like, oh my God, yay, we're alive. So now at this point, we've made it back to the mouth of the river. So we're back in. And
so you still got an hour to go up the river.
An hour and a half still of this to go. So now it's probably 3:30 or something. So he goes, okay, well, why don't we stop here and have lunch?
Right. So what'd you say?
And I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, first of all, I mean, we're starving because we were supposed to eat on the island 2 hours, you know, before the squall ago.
Right.
And, you know, we're all kind of like anything to get off this GD boat at this point. So right inside the mouth, he pulls over to the side, and there does seem to be kind of a clearing. Yes?
Does he pull out, like, some janky-ass food?
No, the food was good.
Oh, okay.
The guy, Sonny, and his wife had made it.
When he got back on the boat.
Well, basically. So, but the thing was, we pull over to the side, and there really is no sound. Like, oh, my God, this is the riverbank. Like, it's mud that, you know, when you step into, you know what a river's like.
Yeah, you're sticking to the mud.
Like, stepping into flan. Super bogus. But we're all like, I don't care, we're getting off this boat. We stand on the side, and, of course, there's no place for me to pee. And but you know, all the guys go off in there, and they come back, and they're covered in mosquitoes, like beating mosquitoes off themselves.
Oh,
like we're
God.
The only thing available for the mosquitoes to eat. And then the dogs come.
What dog?
What dog?
The wild dog.
How bad. It keeps getting better.
Dog.
So clearly, listen, they're not like what you think, like a dingo or something, right? But they're all sort of like, they all look about. They're like little white, kind of like beagle size, but mutts,
they're
clearly mutts, and they've got short hair. They're not like they're small. And there's about, I would say there were four of them at this point, and we'd seen them everywhere. They're everywhere.
Well, like in Nicaragua and deep in Mexico where I went, you see dogs everywhere.
Yeah.
And
they're actually somewhat friendly. They want some food. They're too
small
to get you.
Some of those dogs have owners.
Right.
But like I was saying before, the dogs spend the day doing whatever they want.
Right.
There's no, like, collars.
No.
Or you stay here while I go to work thing.
Right.
That they just...
No, they roam.
I'll see you when I see
you. They're walking down the sidewalk like they're a pedestrian.
Right.
They cross the street when they want. I mean, you actually have to watch out. So the dogs, like, they clearly knew we were there. So they come over, and they're just hanging out like, hey, you know, we'd like some food, too. So they open up the food, and we're eating. It's like chicken legs and pasta salad or whatever. And I'm just like, give me the beer. Mm. You know, so we each, you know, all the grown-ups had a beer. And then I'm like, all right, let's go. Wrap it up. And Sean said something like, oh, we didn't get to fish at all today. And they go, oh, we'll go back out into the... I'm like, no, we're going home. Like, I'm done at this point. I'm like, I'm sorry, Sean, there's not going to be any fishing. That's my littler kid. Like, the kids, I guess they don't realize we almost died.
Was this the one that was crying in the middle?
No. That was the...
That was their kid?
Their littler. They're like, six-year-old. So we get back in the boat. Finally, think if I'm skipping anything. I don't want to leave out any gory detail. That was it. So we get back in the boat, and then the hour and a half goes by, and we get out. And it's like... 5:30.
There's your day. That's one day in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Ruined.
6 a.m. to 5. It wasn't even ruined. And then on the way home, we drove home, and it was like a almost 3-hour drive home. And it was in a downpour that you couldn't see 20 feet ahead of you the whole time.
Who was driving? That host or?
No. We had our two rental cars, and then we had to drive the host guy home. And we all get home, and we're all kind of like dazed, and you know, of course, we're talking about it on the way home. I'm like, oh my God, we're like the worst parents ever. I just want to look at that boat. We should have known. You know, the whole scenario was just
horrendous. What did the people who hosted you say?
We were all horrified.
Were they apologetic?
So, yeah. Well, I mean, we were all kind of, listen, we were all in it. We all took this guy, Sonny, at his word. He's the guy who was like their liaison for renting the house. And then we go out for dinner later that night after we all go home and change and shower and everything. And John goes, please tell me that you didn't tip that guy. And our host was like, oh, I felt like I had to. And I mean, we did make it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. For $1,000, they almost killed us, and you tipped him. And he's like, I know, but I felt so. I was like, oh my God, man. And I was thinking, too, like, I'll bet you that freaking Sonny guy took the $1,000, took $800 of it for himself, and, you know, paid these three dudes and their boat $200 or whatever. Oh, my God. So, anyway, there it is. Well,
That's awful. Harrowing tale
of Costa Rica. I'm sure many people go there and are
whatever
fine.
System mm-hmm. Sonny's working, he works with those guys. So he paid them whatever fair amount, whatever they work for, he mm-hmm. paid them that.
Yeah, he needs to find guys with a better boat and some
life jackets. Is Sonny on Yelp? Let's write him a bad review.
I know. I wonder.
The boats that we took in Nicaragua were... Clearly, they'd made them. They were pretty janky too.
Really?
But we didn't. We stayed right along the coastline.
Well, you're looking for waves.
Yeah, I could absolutely have swam to shore at any moment. Wouldn't have been a thing. And I don't trip. We got in the boat, and my chick immediately turned green.
Boats,
I was like,
yeah.
"Are you kidding?" She's all, huh? I was all, "Oh my God, she's gonna throw up." She just curled up.
Did she barf?
No.
How long was the boat ride?
Where we went, there's surf. And I'm like, I'm out there. Jump out of the boat with my board. I'm so happy. When we got back to the room later, she's like, oh, no, I threw up the second I got out of the boat. I jumped out of the boat.
And barfed in the water?
Oh, yeah. jumped out of the boat.
Fish food. That's fish
really
food.
Really dangerous, though. You think
Why?
That it, how, like, what are you leveraging against? Was she standing on the ground?
Oh, no, she jumped out with her surfboard.
Oh, so she barked off her surfboard.
Yeah, yeah. She just was laying on her board and went, all right. That girl's a trooper. She rallied.
You know, the thing about being seasick and motion sick in general is barfing actually doesn't. You know how when you have like the 24-hour bug or mm-hmm. something and you feel like, okay, fine, I'm going to barf. And then you barf and then you feel better. It's not the same with motion sickness. You barf.
Does it make it worse?
No, you just feel just as sick. Mm. Like, oh, great, I barfed and I'm not better. I hope I barf again real soon.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't go on trips like that anymore.
Well, you know...
How did you sleep that night?
Fine. You know, I was so relieved, to tell you the truth. And it would have been such an exhausting day. Just clutching the sides of a boat for 8 hours, basically.
Was that your last day before you left? Or was there another day?
No, there was another day. In fact, that was the day we went on the Rainmaker tour and saw all the spiders and frogs and
what was
vipers.
The highlight of your... vacation.
The whales. Mm-hmm. The whales are amazing. And actually, mm-hmm. just being there was great. Like, the air is, you know, soft and almost wet. Like, it's just so... I actually love that kind of humid...
Yeah, it's so clean.
It is. And it's not that hot there. I was surprised. I expected, you know, oh my God, August in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. it's going to be like 95 degrees. It was like 82 to 85 during the heat of the day, and then in the afternoon there was always a thunderstorm and it cooled it down, and then in the mornings it was really pleasant. It would be like 75 and just that sort of, you know, soft air, like I can't even describe, you know, that I'm probably what Hawaii's like, I would guess.
Sure.
Just that, you know, you can feel the air kind of.
I'm
yeah, not
pretty
muggy.
Sure you guys
humid, but not muggy.
Mm-hmm. You guys were there for the rainy season,
the beginning of it apparently. Oh, okay. By the time like October, November, December roll around, it is raining all day, every day. You can't see a thing for weeks on end.
The place where I stayed in Nicaragua had 6 weeks where it rained so much, the part of town where we were in is unreachable. Oh. And everyone who lives there leaves and goes to Managua and stays.
That's the major
the main city.
City.
They stay in the main city or any, well, or wherever their family is, but they leave for 6 weeks. You can't be out there. Wow. Anyone who would be crazy enough to say, I'm going to stay, would die. There's no food. There's no.
You're cut off from
anything. It's that rain you're talking about
right.
that doesn't stop.
It's just
floods, mud, no driving, no leaving.
Right. The driving, I don't know how it is in Nicaragua, but it's like a constant. Who was saying it was? It's a constant game of chicken down there.
Oh, yeah. Human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just people, and people just walk in the street, and people bike ride just in the street. Like, they don't even seem to notice that there's two cars coming at them from two different, and the dogs are just walking around, and it's crazy. And the roads are pretty narrow. I mean, it's actually kind of fun. You had to kind of let go and just, woo, we're going for it. Woo.
Wow. It doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, that was the best part. I was like, who cares? I'm not on a boat. I'm driving.
After that experience.
I know. Worst case scenario, my airbags go off. Oh, there was a little store right by the house called the Super Joseph.
Uh-huh.
And so I would go up there all the time and, you know, get whatever I needed for us to eat at the house.
Or beer.
Or beer, whatever. But it was like a little, like a convenience store. It was so neat. Just like I mean, I love that. That's one of the things I loved about Japan was being in sort of the retail-ish or grocery-style stores. All the packaging is different. But you could still find, like, they had Funyuns. You know, so you'd have that.
And gross.
The Imperial was the local beer, I think. So we got that. And then there was a little smoothie place around the corner. And you just point to the fruit that you want, and she threw it all. And I mean,
this was in Costa Rica.
Yeah, just fresh, and throw it in there with some ice mm-hmm. or whatever crap she put.
My
in.
Buddy,
so good.
He actually was the guy that lived with me when I lived out in OB. He's the guy who walked in on and ruined that one bone I was going to get.
Right. The cheerleader.
Right. He just stayed in Indonesia somewhere, and you know the grubs. On Survivor.
Yes.
That they've made them eat a couple times that are so gross that
big
actually
fatties, they're moving in their
and
mouth.
And they bite back. They like bite into your mouth while you're trying to chew them. I guess they use those things to gross out all people who visit. Like it's the, oh, you're here, so this is what we do here, so here. Oh, God, he just posted a video of him eating them on Facebook. This morning, and it was when Indonesia, and I was like, "You say no, thank you. You you call a taxi,
right? You say no, thanks. I brought Cliff Bars.
Yeah, anything.
I got
right.
peanut butter and a loaf of bread over
yeah,
here.
Exactly. Oh God, he did it though.
Yeah,
they were in some bar, and there's someone filming as they're passing around a bowl
a
of these grubs.
Bowl. They're like giant maggots.
Yep.
Ugh.
That bite.
Right.
In your mouth while you're trying to chew them and get them down.
So in some weird way, Sarah, do you like feel more alive and like happy that you were like in this death-defying boat ride, or are you upset?
I'm upset with myself for not being a better, more conscientious parent, like for trusting. And that was the thing, like I started to really realize, because the next day was when I went on those bridges that I'm like, oh my God, like... No one is policing this. These things are going to fall. Like, at some point, these are going to fall down.
Sure.
Let's hope it's not today while I'm on them. I just felt like, you know, I liked it. I had a great, it was an incredible adventure. I'll never forget it. I did like the country. I loved the people. I thought the food was amazing. But all in all, it really gives me an appreciation for America.
Mm.
Like, feels good to be here where, you know, there's building codes.
Mm-hmm.
This one place we ate at was made out of an airplane. Giant airplane.
That crashed there?
I guess not. I mean, they just took a plane and they mm-hmm. had, like, the fuselage going through the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But you could see that the building was built around it. I'm like, who
But
checked?
Did it have
did
running water?
This? Yeah, that had running water.
I mean,
water.
They didn't have... They don't have running water in Nicaragua.
Yeah. Oh, no. This was a town. I mean, it was a full-on...
Yeah. Where I was at, they go to a well and pull the water up in a bucket, and they sit down in a little room off the side and...
Do they boil it?
I don't know. I don't know what they do.
We could drink the tap water there. Mm. We were okay.
Oh, God.
I
really?
Know.
Vinny,
well,
you were like in a village?
Yeah. Out by the beach. Well, it's just... That's... Yeah. And they've it's got these little... I don't want to say it was adobe, but they've got these... ovens that they've made that are outside the house that's what they make everything in.
Right. What do they make? Fish and stuff?
I guess. Fish, corn,
you
tortillas.
Didn't eat any of it?
No. What?
You didn't want to experience what the local people
these were,
there
no,
eat?
These were people's homes. There was no restaurant.
Yeah, but I'm sure the restaurant, the place you were staying served some food.
Oh, they had food, yeah. But they had their own kitchen.
Oh,
I mean,
did.
The place I stayed
not
was
an outdoor
nice.
Thing.
No, they're, are you kidding?
I don't know.
No, we stayed in a resort. Like, there were, it's only like four rooms, but it was nice.
Right. It was
the, set this up for couple guests. That built this place. This is where they're retiring, and they plan to...
Did you have your own bathroom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
We had a beautiful little location. Yeah. It was
sometimes
nice.
Sometimes you go to those places, and it's like, and here's the bathroom we all use.
Soma, and that's for south of Managua. Not That's how I remember it. Instead of
right.
south of Market, it's mm-hmm. south of Managua, but that's Soma Resort.
Yeah. I mean, great. You were way more rustic than I was. Way more. Like, we totally drank the water and ate the ice and had no problems in restaurants and ordered anything we wanted. And, you know, it seemed all very, once you're in the town, it was pretty civilized.
No, we were an hour off of paved roads.
Yeah. Your thing, you're just getting to your resort sounds like my thing where I get out to the island in the middle of the thing. Like, just an adventure just getting there. Do we have time? Do we have time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Oh.
We go for time 40 for minutes.
For a couple
I say
emails.
We call it a day.
Yeah, I say okay. We call it a day. God,
40 minutes?
Jeez.
Not quite. All right. There you go. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Thank you.
I do have some really good emails for tomorrow.
We'll get to that tomorrow.
All right.
All right, fine.
All right,
Yuzette has spoken. Yeah. Jesus.